Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again. With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. It is hour three of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're listening live, hey, good for you. You can also listen over on TuneIn and iHeartRadio. If you miss any of the action, you can catch this show on Spotify, iTunes, wherever podcasts are. You can listen to all 3 hours. Plus, you'll get the entire other library and collection of In This League stuff. This is literally the busiest time of the year because every single show that we do is going on. Basketball, we did two last week. Two fantasy basketball podcasts back in action. We had some Roto World guy, Jonas Nader, and Hoopball's Dan Vesperis. We had two baseball. I did the Prospect Baseball podcast. Bogman did two college football shows, IDP. It is nuts how much content we are churning out. So if you want to be a part of it, check us out there. And if you want to not only support us in the venture that we do, but you want to get some other cool upgrades and have a pretty cool fantasy experience with a ton of other people, check us out at patreon.com/ITL Army. You can watch Bogman eat on Thursdays. Worth the price of admission.
That's right. And if you want to pay for my dinner, you can pick what I eat, too.
So. I like that. We need to do like that. We're going to have to. I feel like the food should be a bigger part of this in the future. Like maybe you have the
camera. I'm all for that.
You have the camera come in and you got to do like a really good review. You got to do more than your Oreo reviews where you're like, oh, it's good. Like that's like we got to get like more. It's pretty good. Like you give the review while you're like, oh, it's this is velvet, red velvet. And I'm going to poop red later, but it's pretty good. Like your breakdown, like you're a food connoisseur. Like we need to hear.
I don't know. I'm just a fat guy who likes food. I wouldn't say that I'm, you know, a food connoisseur. I can never be a food critic. Like people like that. Just like if you're a critic of most things, you just usually take yourself too seriously. So I don't know that I could ever get into the weeds of breaking stuff down like that. I could give a better review than, my review mid chewing. Sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I mean, if you like most food, then yeah, I guess it is. It's kind of hard to critique it. But like we'll create a scoring system. 1 through 5 bogs.
Yeah, I'd probably have to be a little deeper than that if you want to go good. You know, okay, 1 through 10 with points. Right.
Okay. So. Or maybe do it like the like Rotten Tomatoes. Maybe give it a full 100. And you can
there
just,
you go. Give it a percentage of how much I like it.
Oh, and then
I would have to find the baseline of what is 100%, though. That's tough for me. So
5 guys.
No, 5 guys.
What's that crab restaurant you go to?
Ooh, Angry Crab is pretty good. I don't know that it's 100%, but it's pretty far up there.
Well, see, then what you could do is we could track what the entire Thursday night season does, and then we can go back and look at the numbers, and then we'll be able to give a top list of the best foods to eat on Thursday night football when it's the worst football in the NFL.
I should rank my meals 1 through 15. So it should be like a power ranking.
It'll get ranked by your score. You know what I mean? Like one week you'll be like, all right, so whatever Mexican Ajuals, this was 72.
Right.
On the Bago meter. And then we'll look back and then we'll rank them. See?
Bago meter.
I like it. I have been pushing for a long time to have a food series, like a food series with Bogman. Like I want it to be a YouTube series.
Yeah, I'm just too fat to do anything.
No, not at all.
Outside of sitting and watching football.
You're more respected. You know, in medieval times, you would be very respected.
Yeah, but we're in current times, and I'm just a big fat slob like everybody else.
Everyone loves you. Everyone loves you, Bogman.
Yeah. Okay.
Lovable, nice guy, Bogman.
You say everyone but women, so that's good.
It hurts.
Probably for the Lee Corso stories I tell.
It hurts where it counts, I guess.
Right.
All right. Week one. We are we're on the cusp of it. I mean, we're about to get down to the action. Week one of fantasy football and week one of football. So let's start these games off. We're going to any notes we'll talk about. We're going to talk about the over under and we're going to do some pick'ems and we can review those each week. So just like Bogman's food reviews, we can do we'll do our week one action. So we're not going to be doing this Thursday game because that's already over. First game up Sunday, 10 a.m. our time on the West Coast, 1 p.m. on the East Coast. Steelers at the Cleveland Browns. Over under relatively low, 41.5. Maybe that's not a good sign for Cleveland. With the Steelers favored by 4.5 without Le'Veon Bell. So I don't know how that line has actually moved based on. I'm imagining it's moved a little bit. Have you paid attention when Lev Bell essentially, you know, wasn't going to play in this game? Not really.
I think the betting is changed it more than Le'Veon Bell because I believe it was 3.5 a couple weeks ago. It might have been 5.5. So at most, it's gone down by a point. So.
Okay, so what do you think? Where are you? I mean, obviously, you're going to take the Steelers 4.5.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Steelers every single time. So
don't listen to Bogman. The Steelers is what you're saying because you're
exactly.
biased.
Right. And then I'm going to take the over on that. You know, that's like a 31-10 game. I could see this being more of a 31. This could be a 35-31 game. This could turn into a shootout if Cleveland's offense, turns into something that we expect to maybe be later in the season. If it's clicking early, I could see this game easily going over. So I'm going to take Pittsburgh in the over in this one.
I'm going to go with you on this. I'm going to take the 4.5 and I'm going to take the 41.5 over. So give us the Pittsburgh Steelers. But now here's a better question. Who do you think the top fantasy running back from this game is going to be?
I would have to take. Ooh, that's tough.
Because we got Carlos Hyde. We've got James Conner. We've got Duke Johnson.
Probably James Conner. Just because. I like Carlos Hyde too, but I feel like Chubb will mix in more than Jalen Samuels will. Even though I don't think Chubb is necessarily going to be a huge deal in this game, I think that he could be bigger than what Jalen Samuels would be for Pittsburgh. So I would go with James Conner.
Not a horrible front seven that Cleveland has.
No, it's really good. Dude, James, Myles Garrett looked incredible, especially in the dress rehearsal against Philly. Good
dude,
Lord.
By the way, did you see on Hard Knocks, I think it was that final one where he was doing these side drills with Nate Orchard.
Yeah.
And they were standing next, and I was looking at Myles Garrett, and I was like, what an intimidating looking human being. Like, he's younger
than
Nate Orchard.
He's gigantic.
He's so huge. His shoulders came up, his long arms, there's all the, I mean, Nate Orchard, like, that guy's an athlete. He was able to make it in the NFL for whatever. But like, he looks like more like a normal guy. Myles Garrett looks terrifying.
He's a monster.
He's a monster.
Dude, the last game, I think, it was Von Miller. I always get those guys mixed up. They always played for the Aggies, and Von Miller just tortured Texas the last couple games that they played. But Myles Garrett was really good in his own right for a long time. So.
I think I'm going to go, I kind of want to say Carlos Hyde based on a lot of stuff we've talked about. But you are right that they do mix Chubb in, and I could see Chubb actually coming in around goal line situations as well. But I'm going to go James Conner with you. Cheap
okay.
option. He's going to be the main guy, but I think Carlos Hyde is
right there. Any other stuff that's intriguing in this game for you? I mean,
Josh Gordon. I think Josh Gordon, regardless of all the stuff that's going along with, you know, not starting, pitch count, injuries, Josh Gordon in general. I mean, you said it. The Steelers do not have a great secondary, and Josh Gordon is going to be the big play guy, and Jarvis Landry might open up some of those opportunities. So I'm actually, even early on in the game, I'm looking at Josh Gordon, and, you know, we talked about this with Brandon Marion Lee on the ITL podcast of, you know, is he startable as a wide receiver 3 this week? She agreed. I think it's a no doubt situation. I just don't know the scenario where you're taking him out unless you stocked up a bunch of wideouts. And I think I presented the situation. Who would you start, Josh Gordon or Marquise Goodwin? And she had said Goodwin. I don't know, man. I think I would still might go for the home run in Josh Gordon.
Okay. Yeah, I think Juju, you know, AB has had some. He's been banged up a little this preseason. Looks like James Washington probably won't play week one with that chest injury. So I think Juju could wind up having a big game.
That's your dude. All right. Bengals at the Colts. The Colts are a 3-point favorite. Over under is 48. So some points expected to be scored. What do you think about the over under and the line?
Okay, so I'm definitely taking the Bengals in this one.
I'm also taking the Bengals.
Indianapolis, they're still trying to fix that offensive line, and the defensive line for Cincinnati is really, really good. They took Andrew Billings. They still have Geno Atkins. Carl Lawson is really good on the outside. And they have a good rotation. They got Jordan Willis coming off the bench, Michael Johnson coming off the bench, and Carlos Dunlap still. So that defensive line, I just want to see if Andrew Luck can walk away from this one, to be honest with you. And
so what do you think?
Cincinnati, and I'm going to take the under.
Me too. I'm going exactly with you. I think a lot of what you said, I think it's kind of a messy game. I definitely like Cincinnati in this one. That's one of the reasons we like Andy Dalton. And I don't know, man. Like, I just don't know if the defenses are messy enough for that to get out of hand scoring-wise. I think there could be some early inefficiencies. Or, I guess it could go either way. We wouldn't be shocked if both of these teams just kind of came out swinging to start the game and then second half just putter.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely wouldn't be betting on the over-under in this game. I would pick the under because I don't know about Indy's offense, because they still don't have a running game. Their best running back is Marlon Mack, who's not good, and he could be out. So I'm not super supremely confident in that. Plus, it's T.Y. Hilton and nobody still. I mean, Jack Doyle is a guy, but Ryan Grant, I don't know. Like, I'm excited to see him, but I'm not going to count on him week one.
I'm going to be watching Marlon Mack, though, too. If he gets in this game, I wonder if he could wet blanket a bunch of the Jordan Wilkins stuff.
And does Nyheim Hines have a role? I want to see that. And how many times does he fumble in this game?
Probably a lot. All right. Tennessee Titans at the Miami Dolphins. Tennessee is a road favored by one, with the over-under at 45.
Ugh, this
hot game, too. It's weather looks like it's going to be right around 90.
I'm going to take Miami in this game because Tennessee is just completely banged up across the front. So I think Kenyon Drake could have a big game. I think Ryan Tannehill could have a decent game, too, because Tennessee just has everyone up front banged up right now. Let me go to the injury report here. It's Rashawn Evans is out. He's their first round middle linebacker. Harold Landry, who they also took, is going to miss this game. And Derek Morgan is out. They just traded for Correa from not from Houston, the Welsh, but from Baltimore. So Kamali Correa. So I don't know how they're going to stop anything up front. It's not like Miami has a great offensive line or a fantastic running game or anything, but Tennessee literally has no one up front. So I just don't know how Tennessee is going to get to the quarterback. I'm going to take Miami in this one. Over under. I'm going to go under in this one, too.
Okay. I think this one could be a bit messy, and the under is probably the smart play, but I'm going to take the over, and I'm going to go Tennessee here, because I talked about this a little bit on some of the other shows, but I think Mariota, this is a good spot for Mariota. The offensive weapons Tennessee has, I think Derrick Henry could have a big game. You've got Corey Davis, Rashard Matthews, Taywan Taylor to Delanie Walker. It's actually like low key one of the better AFC offenses if it's all clicking. The defense is nutty, but maybe all that's going to do is let Miami, be able to get Kenyon Drake involved, some big play Kenny Stills type of stuff. I think Tennessee could win this by double digits, but I think there could be a lot of scoring. So this could be one of those, 30-20 games where last minute go.
This will be one of the very few games where I pick Miami to win. I am not a Miami fan at all. Obviously, I don't think they have much as far as wide receivers go. I'm not a big Kenyon Drake fan. I hate Ryan Tannehill, and their defense is not that good. But what I saw out of Tennessee, because Tennessee played Pittsburgh in the third preseason game, their offense just doesn't look ready. Like, nothing was clicking. Nothing was working at all. And add the defensive injuries to this game, and it's an easy Miami pick for me.
All right, one more before we go to break here. 49ers, my San Francisco 49ers at Minnesota. Minnesota is favored by 6.5. That's going to be along the lines of one of the bigger lines with an over-under of 46. So you're going to take that full touchdown lead for Minnesota?
Yeah, I'm going to take Minnesota. I don't like this game. I would not bet it at all. I can tell you that. But I am going to take Minnesota. You know, San Francisco, I want to see if that running game has anything. And the defense, really, this is, I'm betting on Minnesota's defense getting a turnover to parse this lead out to be that big. So I would definitely not bet this game, but if I had to pick one, I'd pick Minnesota. And I'll take the over in this one because I do think that San Francisco's offense can click, especially if they're putting up garbage yards or they're playing catch up starting early in the second half. So I'll go with the over in this one and Minnesota.
I'm going to take the 49ers on the points, but I do think they lose. And I'm going to take the over, so those things obviously connect. I think this is one of those late games where if it's the 49ers keeping in it or the 49ers making a late run, you maybe have a score where they catch within four and then it's an onside kick to try to keep in it. This could easily go south for the 49ers. There's no doubt about that because the running back concerns are there's some woes there. But the defense is a little bit underrated. They got some secondary help. They've really worked on the line. And their offense with Pierre Garçon and Marquise Goodwin, I could see catching the Vikings off a little bit. It's definitely going to be how they scheme with Breida and Alfred Morris. But with that first game of the year, we've also talked about maybe some first game struggles with Kirk Cousins on timing and everything like that, plus the potential back and forth with the running backs.
How many Dalvin Cook touches?
I don't know. You'd have to give me a touch total. I think Cook rushes around 15 times and maybe two catches.
So 17, that's kind of high. I was going to put it at like 15 or 16.
Okay.
And then because I think we could see the 50-50 split in this game, and then it's more Cook moving forward.
Yeah, Murray is an absolute scare. Maybe we'll talk just a tiny bit more about that, and we're going to get to the rest of the games. So don't go anywhere. We are previewing week one. If we have time at the end, too, maybe we'll even talk a quick little minute or two about survivors because we are playing in some of those. So don't go anywhere. That's Bogman. I am Chris Welsh. We'll be back with more of In This League right after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready to party!
Fantasy Factor is the only exclusively single-entry DFS site. They've got free rolls registering all the time and great promotions for free prizes. So keep a lookout at Fantasy Factor's free $1 million Survivor Contest opening, which actually opened up, right before the season. So you might actually have a couple more minutes to still get in on it. So go to FantasyFactor.com. That's FantasyFactor.com. The copy said a week before the NFL kickoff. Guess what? We're there. So it's got to be open. So go check it out right now. Get in on that. And we, as I was mentioning at the end, maybe we'll talk a little bit about Survivor with those last couple minutes because we were actually doing a pretty big one over at ITL where we've got, for us, it's like, there's some cash money on it, maybe a Benjamin, and there's like 40 people, something like that. It's a pretty hefty one.
Yeah, I'm going to be really happy when I win it at the end.
You think you're going to?
No, I'll probably be eliminated week one.
Yeah,
so.
Well, you and I, spoiler to when we talk about it, Bogman and I mysteriously picked the same team.
Oh, I'm going to change now, I think.
Are you really?
Come
on, let's go down together.
Somebody has to make it to week two, dude.
Well, I think we're good with our pick. There's a couple good choices, a couple I wouldn't mess with. So we were just talking about the 49ers game. Bogman took the over in Minnesota. I took the over in San Francisco just on the 6.5 line. But I agree.
I wouldn't be touching this game. I want nothing to do with this game. Dalvin Cook is interesting. How do you think the 49er running back situation plays out from a fantasy perspective between Morris and Breida? Like, who do you think steps out as the option here? Or could this be, could this look more like the Atlanta situation where you got one guy who had more of the run, the other guy who was just more effective?
I mean, I think this is Alfred Morris getting the majority of the carries. Now, the majority could be, you know, he carries it 16 times, Breida carries it 15 times, something like that. But Breida still coming back a little banged up, you know, obviously going to be good to go to play in this one. But he's still just a touch banged up. So I would expect Alfred Morris just in general to get more carries in this game. But I also think moving forward, if I had to pick one of these guys, it would be Alfred Morris as well. So I'm more on the Morris train than I am on the Breida train.
I think long term I am too, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's Breida this round. Just because you got the like Morris not knowing the playbook, I think if the Niners are down, Shanahan is just immediately going to want to just throw. And, you know, we might be at that by the second quarter. And if he continuously does that, I don't know how much he'll establish the run. So we could see Breida getting some catches. I think this is a Pierre Garçon game, a Marquise Goodwin game. If George Kittle, I mean, there's going to be some heavy throwing in this game. That's why I like, you know, if I was going to do anything, I actually really like, I think I like the over a lot on this game. I mean, if you're afraid the 49ers offense is going to peter, I see why you don't. But the 49ers are going to be flinging
this game,
that ball.
This is why I wouldn't bet this game, just because I have no idea how this is going to turn out. This could be Minnesota domination, right? I don't think you would be super surprised by that.
No.
But this could be, if Minnesota's defense is clicking in this game, this could be Minnesota domination where it's like, you know, 28-3. And we're not even close to the over in this one because Minnesota's, you know, churned out the clock at the end of the game.
Well, at least I'll know early that I don't need to care about football this season.
But I mean, I don't know that that's what's going to happen, because Garoppolo had such a great showing at the end of the season that I think that it could possibly be much, much closer. That I would, if I had to pick one, it's Minnesota in the over, because I think that San Francisco's offense is good enough to put up at least some garbage time to make this game go over. But I just don't know how this is going to turn out. How good is that San Francisco offense? That's something that I think we can get answered, because they have a tough test week one.
Well, so here's a game that I think is also difficult to manage with. It is the Houston Texans at the New England Patriots, because Patriots are favored by 6. Maybe that's the positive, but the over under is 51. Bogman, how do you lean here? Because I think I'm leaning New England still, and I think I go the over too.
I'm not. I am definitely taking the over in this game, 100%. But I'm going to take Houston in this game on the road.
To win or to cover?
No, just to cover. I would definitely not pick them. I don't think Houston has never won in New England, ever. They were really close last year, but they choked at the end and couldn't get it done. And Tom Brady came back and won that game, to no one's surprise anywhere, ever. But I would go with Houston to cover, and I would go with the over in this game, because Deshaun Watson's back. DeAndre Hopkins is out there. Lamar Miller's never going to have fresher legs than he has week 1.
Week 1, yeah.
So, Will Fuller and Kiki Kuti are a little bit banged up, so that's a little troublesome. But I still think I got Houston to cover in this game, because I could be wrong about this over. But New England's defense was really bad last year. I don't know that they improved by a ton this offseason. And I just think that this game could turn into a shootout. So I'm gonna take the over in Houston.
All right, so we got those lines there. Rex Burkhead, interesting. I think he's the perfect guy to go up against this Texans defense, because I feel like if the Patriots took any guy to try to ground and pound, this wouldn't go well. But Burkhead's going to be able to kind of stretch out. He'll probably get the ball thrown his way. I think one of the bigger questions that's going to end up is, will they stick with Burkhead, or will James White pull a Darren Sproles? And as Brandon on our show had talked about, she, like, deep play picked Jeremy Hill to be a guy.
Yeah, I think, you know, we could easily see Jeremy Hill in the Mike Gillisley role from early in the season. You know what I mean? Where they get down to the goal line and here comes Jeremy Hill. So I could see him being a play. He's better than Gillisley, I would say, but not by much. Jeremy Hill's not that good, guys. And there's a reason Cincinnati cut him. So
it's hateful.
It is hateful, but I mean, come on. How can anyone in Cincinnati like Jeremy Hill? He's a guy that choked away that playoff game by fumbling. I mean, him and Vontaze Burfict and Adam Jones. So you only got one of them left. So all you got to do is run Burfict out of town. But for some reason, they keep sticking with that clown. So
New Orleans Saints, they are hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in what is for sure the highest line. New Orleans favored by 9.5. The over under is 49.5.
Whoa. That's a big over.
That's a big line.
Yeah, I'm going to take New Orleans in the line. I know that that's ridiculous. It's a divisional matchup, blah, 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 blah.
Over under, though. You said New Orleans in the line. Oh, you just made, you're going to take the 9.5.
I'm going to take, yeah, I'm going to give the 9.5. So I'm taking New Orleans. So,
I know where you're going with this because I kind of like the under too, because this is one of those, this reeks of like 35-7 games.
I mean, 35-14 is 49 points and you miss it by a half.
Yeah, well, is Tampa going to score, have two scores?
Yeah. You know, I'm going to go New Orleans in the under.
I'm going to also, I'm going to do the same thing. Gross, taking 9.5.
I mean, that's probably the worst way to go. If you're going to take 9.5, usually it's going to be in a much higher scoring game. Because both defenses are bad, but I'm going to stick to it. I, you know, 31-10, something like that, 35-10, 35-14, 35-17. We're still good. So I'm taking all that stuff.
Didn't I have a perfect week last year?
Yeah,
I sure did. Didn't
no,
I?
Yep, no.
I had a perfect week. I did. Right. You remember. I had a perfect week. Now, at that time, our show was on Wednesday, so we didn't count the Thursday games, and I don't remember if we excluded a different game, but I had a perfect record. I wonder what I'll be this time. Probably not good.
I'll bet you whatever you want that you will not have. And by the way, it was on over-unders. It wasn't on...
Yeah, it was over-unders. That was perfect.
It was over-unders. It wasn't against the spread, so you didn't, you know, hit 32 out of 32 ever. But I'll bet you whatever you want that you won't do that again this year.
Well, yeah, I'm
on
not,
either side.
Okay, okay. I'm not going to bet that I'm going to go perfect.
Okay, all right. Just you bragging about stuff that happened last year.
I'm just saying I'm better than you. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Anything else to talk about in this game? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. I'm fascinated to see what Gillislee, role he plays. Like, any back besides Kamara is what I want to see.
I want to see Ronald Jones do something.
Yeah.
Just so everyone goes, oh, man, we should have known better.
Poke him with a stick. Do something.
Do something.
Do something.
Just one. Like, he doesn't need much. I think if he gets 6 or 7 carries, he could break one off, even against New Orleans defense. So I'm excited about him, and I know he's going to do it at some time. I would really hope for it to be week 1. I have many, many shares.
All right, Jags at the New York football Giants. The Jags are a 3-point favorite road team. 3-point favorite, and the over-under is 42.5.
Oh, man, these over-unders are really tough for me.
That's why they do it.
I'm definitely taking Jacksonville, but I could see this going either way, but I'm going to take Jacksonville. Just, I mean, they were so much better than the Giants last year, but I'm going to go over in this game because I'm going to give the Giants a little bit of credit with getting Barkley back. Odell is back. That's two huge weapons that they didn't have. I think they should at least make this close, but you know, we're looking at 28-24. You know, Jacksonville wins, that's still, you're hitting both. So that's what I'm going to take. I think this is going to be closer than people expect, but I'm not going to be brave enough to take the Giants.
Well, this would be surprising then. I am going to take the Giants at home, and I'm going to take the under on this one. I'm going to go with like
dominant Giants defense.
I'm going to go with like a 24-17 win for the New York football Giants at home. I mean, the Jags defense is something else, that's for sure. But the Giants have a relatively explosive offense with Shepard, Beckham, Ingram, and Saquon Barkley. Tie in all of that, you got home on the side, and I don't necessarily... I'm like, this is something I'm going to have to be sold on by just watching them for a couple weeks. I just don't know what the Jags offense is going to look like this year. I know you got Fournette, but the receiver, that receiving core is quite a bit of a disaster. I just don't know what that is going to look like from an efficiency standpoint.
You just can't accept Blake Bortles. What does Blake Bortles have to do for you to accept him? Does he have to throw for like 300-400-yard games in a row and then you'll be good?
No, I think he's okay. He's fine. He's just not great. Did you draft him as a quarterback one this year?
I didn't draft him in any. I have zero shares.
No, because why would you?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But I mean, when I'm betting, I don't know. I feel like Blake Bortles could improve.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's at all. I mean, the Jags are favored by 3 as a road team for a reason here. But I'm going to take the home team. I think the Giants have a good offense. I think the Jaguars' offense could sputter. So I'm going to take the under, and I'm going to take the Giants. I don't know how much I love the over-under, but to be honest with you, I could see myself taking this bet on the Giants by 3 or get 3 points.
Yeah, and maybe I should be taking the under in this game. I don't know how what kind of pressure is New York going to get on Blake Bortles? Like, it's really about the Giants defense is my question, not about the Jaguars offense. I don't think the Jaguars offense is amazing. I think it's Leonard Fournette and play action, but the Giants defense was so horrendous last year and they traded away Jason Pierre-Paul. I just don't know how great this defense is going to be. That's why I would pick the over.
What do you think about Saquon? Do you sitting on it the whole week, do you really think Saquon's going to get stuffed at the line and have a less than stellar game?
Yeah, I do. He could Saquon's a dude that can break one off at any point. But if I had to pick, I would say under 100 combined yards for Saquon in this one.
Didn't we do a bet on that?
Yeah, we have a chicken on that. I can't remember what it is.
I think it was 91. I think I
took 91. Yeah, something like 91. Well, you won one already because you had Julio up over 100 yards. And he had, 168.
Points for the chicken. All right, next game up. We'll get one or two before the break. We've got the Bills at the Baltimore Ravens. Woof. Baltimore is favored by 7.5. And this has to be the worst over-under line, 39.5.
Ugh. Well, this is, spoiler alert, this is the game that we both picked. So
yep. For the survivor, Baltimore against Buffalo.
God. I'm going to take Baltimore, and I'm going to go with the under. And once again, it's not something that you would normally do in the betting world where you would take the team that's favored by a bunch plus also the under. Normally you would take, Baltimore and the over because there's some scoring, there's some garbage yards, things like that. I just don't know what Buffalo's offense is going to look like. It's going to be LeSean McCoy. I mean, Calvin Benjamin's okay, but now Nate Peterman is throwing to him. Josh Allen, if Nate Peterman is ineffective, I am not excited at all about this Buffalo offense.
Yeah, I hate every bit of this game. I would, I'm going to take the over-under, but I'm going to go Buffalo, just a 7.5 point. You know, maybe it's a touchdown game. Neither one of these teams are dominant. The Bills are worse, but
you're going to take Baltimore in Survivor, but you're going to take Buffalo to beat the spread? That means it's going to be fairly close.
But it can be a touchdown, and I still win.
Well, it's 9.5 for New Orleans. Like, why wouldn't you be taking New Orleans?
Yeah, no, I thought about it.
You pick New Orleans. So, like, your logic, if you think New Orleans is going to win by 10, because the spread's 9.5, they got to win by 10.
Yeah.
And you don't think that Baltimore is going to win by 7.5.
I'm mixing it up,
Bogman. You should be taking the Saints.
I'm mixing it up for the money.
Why don't you take the Saints so both don't have the same team?
Oh, so you're trying to get me off of Baltimore is what you're doing.
I mean, just get each other away from the same game in Survivor.
Yeah,
Survival, because I am not excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Survivor is relatively tough this year. All right, let's get one more before the break. We have got the Chiefs at the Chargers. Chargers are favored by 3.5. The over-under is 48.5.
This one's kind of easy for me. I'm going to take the Chargers and I'm going to take the over in this one. Kansas City's defense is not great, but I do think the Kansas City offense could be improved with adding Sammy Watkins, and Patrick Mahomes is better than most people are giving him credit for, at least in this game. I know a lot of people already have him ranked high. There are some people that are a little too high on him, but I got the Chargers and the over in this one. That Kansas City defense, no Eric Berry also, just going to be ugly.
Yeah, I'm all Chargers here. I like the I'm going to go the over because I do think Mahomes is going to fling a couple that are going to get out there.
He's got great weapons all over the place. Sammy Watkins with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt. You got to think they're going to be able to put some offense together, but that defense is not good.
I mean, this could be a 35-14 game, and then that gets you your over. And I think the Chargers are going to be out swinging for sure, and the Chiefs are going to be playing some catch up, which maybe it makes that, maybe it makes that over.
No, Joey. No Eric Berry, no Joey Bosa.
Ooh.
Like, I love this.
Yeah,
that's give me the over all day long.
No, good point. That's a good sell. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about the rest. We have got the Seahawks, Broncos, Redskins, Cardinals, Panthers, Cowboys, the Sunday night game, Packers, Bears, and then the dose, the two Monday night games, the gross Jets and Lions one, but the Rams and Raiders, which should be fun. And then if we've got a little bit of time, we'll talk about Survivor, and Bogman will continue to try to get me to not pick the Baltimore Ravens. So don't go anywhere. This is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It is so good talking about week one action, and I am so excited to see what these over-unders look like next week, unless I'm trash. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back. It's In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends? Listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
If you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports, but you're sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups, ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches, and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps, and if you sign up for a new account using promo code FNTSY, you can elect an option to receive a 50% deposit bonus with a rollover requirement. No more dealing with late lineup scratches, no experts to compete against, just you and the prop that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon sign up, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. We back in this league.
FNTSY.
It's Bogman and the Welsh. Check all of our pods. I can't believe the amount of podcasting we'll be doing this weekend, where we will have game breakdowns on the Fantasy Black Book that we do for Fantrax, which this is the first year we committed to more leagues on Fantrax than Yahoo, and felt pretty good. Felt pretty good about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see my overall record after week one. So I did have – I started Calvin Ridley in one spot. I started Corey Clement in one spot. So it's not looking good in those ones. But I also had a couple shares of Nelson Aguilar in PPR leagues. So
you and I are going up against each other in good. One.
Yeah, yeah. Which one is that? Is that three sport?
I don't remember. It might be multiple. Let me look real quick because I thought – let's see. Three sport football. Which
no, I'm playing Jesse in three sport.
Maybe it was IDP.
That could be it.
I hope it was IDP because that's the one that I've got. I have got stupid Jay Ajayi. Yes, it sure is.
I don't like that.
I scored. Check this out, Bogman. Jay Ajayi scored 21 points in that one, which is PPR. And we play
Sorry,
IDP.
41 points. Good God.
Jordan Hicks. We do IDP.
Yeah, he had a sack and a half.
Sack and a half, a pass deflection, a little tackle for loss. Jordan Hicks scored me 20 points in our three-sport league.
I wasn't bad with Aguilar, 11.8. So, but you're projected. Now, see, I do like this. Yahoo projects you to beat me by about 20, almost 30 points. So I do like that. I do like that you're ahead in the Yahoo projections because they tend to let you down every single week.
They definitely do. It's actually very depressing because it creates a false sense of security because when you do lose, you're like, well, this is dumb. What was the point of this?
I do like when you're up by 85 and then the other guy has like two dudes going and it still gives you 1%.
Yeah, that's always fun.
That's my favorite.
So you're saying there's a chance. All right. picking up on the games for week one, we left off at the Chargers. So we got Seahawks at the Broncos. The Broncos are favored by 3.5 at home. Over under is 42.5.
I'm going to take Denver in this one, and I'm going to go with the over in this one because I do still think that Seattle can score if they're throwing the ball a bunch. You said 42.5, was that it?
Yeah.
So, I'm going to take Seattle and the over in this game. We kind of talked about this earlier.
You're taking Seattle or Denver?
I'm sorry, Denver in the over.
Okay.
We already talked about this one a little bit, but I love playing Seattle players for the catch-up garbage yards, and I just think that Seattle's defense is going to be really, really bad. Maybe it'll be better than I think week one, but I just think adding Case Keenum and taking away Paxton Lynch changes this offense so much, especially also adding Royce Freeman. I'm really curious to see how good Denver's offense looks with a NFL caliber starting quarterback.
No doubt. I am going to go with the Denver Broncos and the under. I'm going to go under on this one. I think there's some defense to be played, maybe some messy offense on both parts. I know everyone's very ginned up about the Broncos offense, and Emmanuel Sanders is the biggest sleeper, and we've got Royce Freeman, but it doesn't mean there might not be some puttering, and the Seahawks with whatever they're dealing with, you are still going up against the Denver Bronco defense. So I'm going to go with the under on this one, and I'm going to say Denver is able to swoop in and take that lead and take that win. Redskins at the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals are favored at home. They are home favorite by 1, and the over under is 43.5.
I'm going to take Washington in this one. I don't like the Cardinals this season, and I think both defenses have some weaknesses, so I'll take the over.
I am doing the same thing as you. I'm going to take the Washington Redskins, and I'm going to take the over on this one. I think David Johnson's going to do some work, but Alex Smith is also going to do some work. Like you said, the defenses are fine, but they're not great. I think they are going to be exposed, both of them. And this is this could easily, I mean, this could go Arizona's way, but, 24, 21, 27, 24 type of game. Screams that to me.
If you're doing confidence points, this one's very low for me. Because like the Welsh said, I could see this going Arizona's way. If I have to pick a worse roster off the top, I tell you what, if Darius Geis was playing in this game, I'd take Washington easy. But I don't know about Adrian Peterson. I think maybe he'll be out for a little bit of revenge.
Chris Thompson, on the
Cardinals. Yeah, Chris Thompson.
I think
could
this
have
is a Chris Thompson game.
To be honest, it's do you trust Sam Bradford or do you trust Alex Smith more? And for me, it's just easy Alex Smith. So that's why I would go with Washington.
All right, the Cowboys at the Carolina Panthers. Carolina is favored by 3. And that is the sound of Cowboy fans just screaming and rioting. And the over-under is 42.
All right. Well, I'm definitely taking Carolina. I like a lot of this offense. I like DJ Moore, obviously. I love Christian McCaffrey. I like pretty much everything but Devin Funches. So I'm going to take Carolina. God, 42 is tough. I'm going to take the under. I think both teams are going to play the run a little bit more than they're going to play the pass, especially Dallas. Dallas is going to try to play ball control. So I think the spread is low enough to where this can be a low scoring game and Carolina still comes out on top. So I'm going to take Carolina and the under.
I'm going to take Carolina, but I'm going to take the over on this one. You still got Ezekiel Elliott. Prescott is going to be flinging the ball a little bit. Carolina, I mean, as I look at this, I don't think this is an easy over-under, but I want to bet with two explosive running backs here and quarterbacks that are going to get the job done. I'm going to go with the over just by a slight margin, and I'm going to take Carolina here. All right. This one is surprising to me, by the way. And I bet this is, when we look at Survivor stuff, this is high up there. And I'm not sure I'm with it, but the Bears go into Green Bay. Green Bay Packers are favored by 7, and the over-under is 47. I know it's Green Bay. I know it's Aaron Rodgers, but I don't know, man. Sunday Night Football with the change of the Bears, I know it's in Green Bay. Just, I can't get down with that 7.
7 is a big spread, especially for a divisional rival.
Yeah.
But
and Nagy is going to try to stuff it down their throat. Like, I'm going to take the Bears to cover. Like, I think that Green Bay wins this game, but I've got to, I'm going to go with the Bears to cover.
And are you going on the over or the under on this?
I'm going to go with the over.
Chicago on the over. This is really tough because I really, really like Chicago's offense this year. And obviously the defense just had a huge jump with Khalil Mack coming in there. But Khalil Mack is brand new. I don't know. He's definitely going to be on a pitch count. Roquan Smith has a hamstring thing. He's going to play, but I don't know how effective he's going to be. And I think that this offense gets more and more tightened up as far as accuracy and those things go later in the season when they're a little bit more experienced. So for this game, I am going to take Green Bay and the over. But I'm going to be very interested to see the opposite of this, the Green Bay at Chicago game later in the season when Chicago might be clicking on all cylinders a little bit and their defense is fully healthy and back at it.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I'm with that. And this is going to be a fascinating game to see. Does Jordan Howard move into another tier of running back? How the hell is the Green Bay running back situation going to go? They only got two active, Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery. So I expect a heavy dose of Jamal Williams, which, you know,
I expect a heavy dose of Aaron Rodgers.
I do too, but I more and more wonder if Jamal Williams is a better option than we think in like a DFS or even in the flex spots if people might not be starting him because he's going to be the only guy.
Right, and for this week, I would much rather have him this week than I would next week because next week it's up against Minnesota and that front four. But this is why I've been going with Aaron Jones. I don't know how much of an impact that Jamal Williams is going to be able to make early, especially in this game when Aaron Rodgers is coming back. He's going to want to remind the NFL about what they were missing last year. So I just think
Olivia
this
Munn.
Could be and Olivia Munn. I just think he could be making it rain out there. So I would definitely go with Green Bay in this one.
All right. Two Monday night games. It starts off and kicks off with the Jets at the Lions. The Lions are favored by 6.5. The over under is 45.
Half, huh? 45. I'm going to take Detroit and I'm going to take the under.
Oh, me too.
Oh, are you? Okay. So this is not very inventive then, huh?
No. No, but I mean, it's just, you know, I keep talking up Matthew Stafford and what I think they're going to do. I don't think the Jets, I think the Jets are going to be relatively ineffective. Sam Darnold going on the road in his first NFL start. That offense is a little puttery to me with the New York Jets. So I like the Lions to roll in this. I do think the Jets could put up some late points in that game. Obviously, in the fourth quarter, they're playing a little bit of catch up. But I think the Lions are rolling in this one. I wouldn't be shocked at anything else, but we took the under, though. So.
Sam Darnold, let me ask you this. Sam Darnold against the Lions defense or Eli Manning against the Jacksonville defense?
I'll take Eli still.
Eli still?
I mean, I think.
I keep flip-flopping on that one.
Oh, because you actually have to. Yeah, those are two guys you own.
Yeah, and I'm going to love Eli, I think, for the rest of the year. But against Jacksonville week one in a new offense.
Don't you feel like week one, though, like if there's a time that an offense like the Giants could take advantage of a defense like this, it would be week one before they've made all their adjustments.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that I'm probably going to go with Eli. I'm probably going to go with the veteran, but I'm just not very super confident about either one. Obviously, the bad choices, and this is the spot that I put myself in a couple of these leagues. But I'm probably going to go with Eli against Jacksonville just because I don't like, you know, Sam Darnold throws two picks in the first half. I could easily see him getting benched. So I'm going to roll with Eli.
All right.
So
final game, it is the Los Angeles Rams at the Oakland Raiders, future Las Vegas Raiders or whatever they'll be. The Rams are favored by 4, and the over-under is 48.5.
4 is it?
Yeah.
Well, 100% confidence on the Rams, and I'm going to go with the over. They are going
to take that
torch
as,
Oakland.
Take that as your survivor pick.
You know what? I'm doing it.
Are you doing it?
I'm changing.
All right.
I am so I mean, usually you don't want to take a road team, but I am so unbelievably confident that the Rams are going to smoke the Raiders. Why is this spread only 4?
This spread
should be like 17 or
that. Doesn't it scream a little concern? Like, well, maybe I'm missing something.
What am I missing?
I don't know. You want to know something interesting? So let's move it a little bit to Survivor. I'm looking on Yahoo at their top 10 pick distribution right now. Where do you think the Rams are?
7%?
No, I mean like under... Okay, you gave me a percentage. What number do you think that puts them on the top 10? They're in the top 10.
Oh, they are? Mm-hmm. I don't know. 8.
You're close. Okay, so your distribution's a little bit off, but they are 7th on... they're the 7th most picked, but only 2.5% of all picks are picking the Rams, and that equates to 7.
Is Baltimore the most?
They're the 2nd most picked.
New Orleans is the most.
Yeah, so you've got over 50% of all people week 1 are taking New Orleans and Baltimore. New Orleans is 31.5%. Baltimore is just over 20%. That is 50% of all picks are those two teams.
I'm definitely taking the Rams now. I just see, you know, one of those weird games where, you know, where Drew Brees gets hurt in the first quarter and Teddy Bridgewater isn't all the way caught up, you know.
Oh boy, so now you're screwing with me. Maybe I'm going to go with you. Maybe I'll take the Rams too.
No, come on.
All
no
right.
Way.
Here's the rest. Take a guess at who number 3 is.
Pittsburgh.
No. Actually, number 3 and 4 are almost identical. The Lions are 3rd.
Okay, going up against a rookie quarterback, that makes sense.
The Packers are 4th.
People try to save the good teams for late in the year.
Well, that's why you take Baltimore right now.
Well, no, I'm not taking Baltimore right now because I'm saving the good teams. I'm taking Baltimore right now because Buffalo looks horrific.
Yeah, and you can get rid of a crappy team.
Oh my God! I'm going with the Rams. The Rams are my team.
All right. So Pittsburgh is 5. There's only 4 teams that have a 10% or more distribution pick. That is Green Bay, Detroit, Baltimore, New Orleans. Pittsburgh is 5 at 9%, and then it's a steady drop off. Number 6 is Minnesota at 3%. Rams are 2.5%. Tennessee is 1.7%. New England is 1.6%, and Philly was 1%. So good on those people that took Philly.
What was Atlanta?
I can view all of them. Let's see. Let's look at that. Atlanta.
Some people that are eliminated. The only thing that saved them was the lightning delay.
0.7% Atlanta was.
You morons.
The lowest. Who do you think the lowest is? Actually, it's tied. Yeah, Buffalo and Tampa Bay are 0.06%.
Why would anyone take either one of those teams?
They're not. I don't know.
What are they doing?
I don't know. They're trying to be cute.
Is that just like Bill's Mafia and then like a Tampa Bay forum?
I guess that is. Those Atlanta ones are pretty brutal. Even seeing on here, like the Jacksonville is at number 11, by the way, at 0.85%.
Well, I thought Atlanta was going to win that game. I picked them, but I didn't do it with any confidence. I am in one of those pools where you have to, you know, pick the team to win against the spread and give the confidence every single week. So, I mean, I got Buffalo at the top right now, but I think I'm going to switch it. I think I'm going to switch it to the Rams.
All right. So what's our show pick'em that we're going to do? Our show survivor.
You're going
with the Rams too?
I'm going with the Rams.
All right, I'll go Baltimore.
Okay.
And then I'll go Rams on our money one.
I don't see how Oakland wins, and I don't see how Buffalo wins.
Yeah, so those are really good ones. So yeah, New Orleans is your biggest pick. There might be some traps in there. Detroit feels like the biggest trap to me, by the way. Over 10% are picking them. And it's a road team going into, I mean, Indianapolis is nothing to be excited about, but there still is Andrew Luck. I just like, I'm all in on Detroit, but I wouldn't pick that as my week one survivor.
It would just have to be like Sam Darnold comes out and it's him and Robbie Anderson and they're just torching Detroit. And I don't know, there's some weird fumbles or something going on for Detroit. I don't see that one happening either.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fairly confident in a bunch of these games, but this happens every single year. You're confident in one of them, and then you get hosed, and you're done for the year.
Confidence is high. We will see what happens. So make sure to check us out over on the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast and the Fantasy Black Book on Monday. You're going to get live reactions, essentially 2 hours if you listen to both podcasts. We'll also be doing more during the week, so make sure you're subscribed. Get in on all the action. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Good luck in week one for your teams and your fantasy teams. For Bogman, I am the Welsh. This is In This League. Talk to you next week. Peace out.
Bye.